May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Please be seated. For me, I thought this section of Genesis was perfect for today because it has so many, analogies that you can compare to the gospel with. It starts off, when God created the heavens and the earth, and then it talks about how the darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. So right away, we have the same thing. We've got water and wind. And the wind represents the Holy Spirit, and of course the waters we know represent the waters of baptism. And that's the analogy. When we are washed by the baptism of water and we have received the Holy Spirit, we too are empowered, just as Jesus, in our baptismal covenant and while we're baptized. Also, if we look at where it says, "Let there be light," and God saw that it was good. And God separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. For me, that was kind of an analogy of nighttime being when we're living in sin. And when we have light, the light of Christ, when we have daytime, that's when we live with Christ. So nighttime is the analogy is life without Jesus. And once we're baptized and accept him as our Savior, as our Messiah, and as our Lord and friend, that's our life with Christ. We are in light. We belong to him. And we follow his way. And the new creation that God created through Jesus Christ is now us. We're the new creation because we have been risen by the waters of baptism and by his crucifixion in Christ. So then we get to the gospel. Mark kind of portrayed John the Baptist as like a prophet, almost like Elijah. And he shows him that with being very kind of austere. He didn't dress up, didn't eat very well, wasn't really comfortably dressed too, and just went out in the wilderness to really commune with God and to really figure out what did God want him to do. And he does it. So Epiphany today in the gospel, it shows Jesus coming to John the Baptist, who was very humble. He knew he wasn't even worthy to untie his sandals, the thongs of his sandals. And we've got John the Baptist being, confronted by Jesus, saying, "Now baptize me." In other gospels, there's even kind of like a discourse between the two. Well, John said, "Well, I should be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me." But John still complied with Jesus because John the Baptist was totally obedient to God's will. So here we have Epiphany, the first Sunday after Epiphany. And Jesus is there, going to be baptized. And this is an opportunity for God to show forth Jesus Christ, to manifest Jesus in the world for the first time. Jesus being God's presence in the world. What's really interesting is we think to ourselves, well, why would Jesus be baptized by John? Because John's baptism was a baptism of forgiveness, of repentance. And we all know that Jesus had no sin. Jesus had no guilt. He didn't have an agenda other than God Almighty. Jesus is focused on obeying God, being God's presence in the world, being God Almighty, himself, man, and God at the same time, and then our salvation. That's why Jesus was here, and he stuck to it the whole time. So he had no guilt. He had no sin. So why be baptized? That was his way of identifying with us, his brothers and sisters. It was Jesus' way of showing us the right way. We are to be baptized. We are to recognize our sin, ask forgiveness, and then receive absolution, and then believe in him as the Messiah. This was also, like I said before, God's first opportunity to really confirm in public that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was his beloved Son and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The other thing that, you know, I thought was interesting, and we see it in the Bible in a couple of different places, was after Jesus was baptized in Mark's Gospel, as he was coming out of the water, John the Baptist saw, but also Jesus himself saw, that the heavens were torn apart and the Spirit was descending upon him like a dove. What does that remind us of? Well, first of all, Isaiah, in his writings, he even prophesied, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down." That's what Isaiah's prophecy, that was his prayer, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. And that's what God did in the form of Jesus on Christmas Day. And then here, at his baptism, as Jesus is being obedient to God the Father, he sees the heavens torn open. And what comes down? The Holy Spirit. And it wasn't that Jesus was a man and now he was suddenly God. It's just the love and the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, that is between God the Father and God the Son. Have me explain that further? I'd probably be heretical because I can't. Nobody can, I don't think. And if you can, you should be up here. But that's God Almighty. You know, the Holy Spirit is the presence of God. God the Father is God. God the Son is God. And it's all one. And they came together. And that was the first epiphany, the showing forth of Jesus Christ. But what else? One more. I'm sure there's a couple of others, but this is the one that I thought of this morning. How about the temple veil? When Jesus was crucified, what happened? The veil in the temple was rendered when he was crucified. And it, for me, it means that, you know, God is opening up through Jesus Christ the division, the wall of sin between us and him that we put up. That's the way that God made himself more accessible through Jesus Christ. We always hear that Jesus is the bridge. Well, it's true. But he tears open the problems that we have and help us to admit we sin, realize it, and be able to name it, and then not only ask for forgiveness, but change our ways and try to improve each and every day, sometimes each and every moment of each and every day. Jesus tears down any wall, any division between ourselves and himself, God Almighty. So why did Jesus get baptized? Because he was showing us the way, his way. Why was Jesus baptized? It was an opportunity for God Almighty to, like, audibly and visually show that this is my Son. And we know from August 6th, which is the Feast of the Transfiguration, we know that when he took Peter and James and John up on the mountain, we know what God wanted them to. It was the same thing. It was an epiphany. They had Moses and Elijah up there, but that's not what God Almighty wanted. when the clouds came, and then they wanted to build a booth for all three. God made it very clear when the cloud left. God said, listen to him, my son. And only Jesus was left. So not that Elijah and Moses weren't important, but what God wants our focus to be is to really know and love and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. For me, the color really summed up everything. Jesus came to be baptized in the River Jordan, and God proclaimed him his beloved Son, and he was anointed with the Holy Spirit that empowers him. Each and every one of us has the Holy Spirit inside of us. It can never be taken away. That's a gift that stays with us forever. But it's up to us to allow God to be active in us. We have to use the Holy Spirit, and we can do it. God gives us strength. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ in Christmas time. We thank you for the epiphany, the showing forth of our Lord and our Savior. We ask that you teach us to be humble like John the Baptist and realize that no, we're not worthy to untie the sandals of Jesus's, the thongs of Jesus' sandals, but through Jesus Christ, we are worthy to stand before him because we are beloved sisters and brothers, saved and redeemed and reconciled by him. And we pray.